But we have some other interesting games as far as Sunday is concerned. And what we love to do each and every Friday, Alan Bell joins us now with CBS Sportsline. Alan, first and foremost, welcome back to the show. And, you know, I wish I could say I was wrong, but I honestly go back to July, early August. Everything I was saying about this team, it wasn't just Marcus. It was the other factors, too, all on full display last night on Thursday Night Football.
Yeah, it was. First off, thanks for having me back, as always. And you're right. I mean, last night was just miserable. If you're a Titans fan, last night was about as bad as it gets. And you could tell immediately, as soon as Adoree dropped that punt, and Jacksonville immediately goes in and scores. And then Tennessee just didn't have an offense. They just literally could not formulate an offense. It was just a brutal night. And I hate it for Titans fans. It was bad enough in week two, losing to Indianapolis at home. And then you double it down with this. Just a brutal 2 weeks for Mike Vrabel and the Titans.
You know, I don't mean to be mean when I say this, but after last night and after the decision-making or the lack thereof, and we've seen this over and over and over again, I actually did a quick Google search today of Wunderlich scores. I'm not kidding. And because everybody, remember when Vince Young was quarterback of the Titans, after that first, he had the early success and then the NFL figured him out. Everybody started talking about how poorly he did as far as the Wunderlich, which, so I actually looked and to see where Marcus Mariota ranks as far as with other quarterbacks. That's not the issue. I go back. This is not, we see some, some collages of a great play of Marcus Mariota pulling off magic. Unfortunately, a lot of that magic was prior to his injury back when he suffered the injury against Jacksonville back in 2016. He's not the same quarterback, but he's never been able to, on a consistent basis, make the simple, easy throws to your left or right, as far as to the sidelines. I mean, great, acrobatic catch from Davis last night, one-handed grab, right? But here's the thing. It never should have been like that. It should have been an easy throw where all of a sudden you're Davis, you're turning upfield with a chance to score.
Yeah. No, you're exactly right, and that's the problem. The Titans have a lot of problems. Let me say that. I don't want to put all of it on Marcus, but
No. There's plenty to go around.
For sure. But the issue now, here and now, the issue is this, is that what the Titans' problem is it spotlights exactly what the inefficiencies of Marcus Mariota is as a quarterback. So you've got a team that starts slow. They've only had two touchdowns in the first half of three games now, okay? So they start slow. And you've got a quarterback who really doesn't have a passing game. And defenses know it. And what they're doing is they're pinning their ears back and getting aggressive and coming after Marcus. I pulled the numbers on Mariota just this season of playing with the lead and playing from behind on the scoreboard. With the lead, he's got about 140 passer rating, three touchdowns, 63-64% completion percentage. For playing from behind, he's got 11 sacks, a 53 somewhat around there completion percentage, and only one touchdown. And that's the problem is where the Titans are, is that playing from behind is a death sentence. They cannot come from behind. And let me also say this. When I say playing from behind, these aren't large scores. The defense is keeping teams to under 20 points.
Right. Like, usually talking about a 17-3 kind of comeback, and everybody wants to like build statues and throw parades because of all these great fourth quarter comebacks from Marcus Mariota. This is when I quickly say, look, you can't create your own comebacks because you were lousy for three quarters.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the problem, is that now we're looking at, when it was 14-0, everyone in the country knew that game was over. The Titans were not scoring. Look at Mike Vrabel. When he was in the red zone, when they went through it on 4th and 6 and Mariota was sacked, that was him telling you in real time, we're probably not going to come back down here. Like, we're not going to be in the red zone, so we have to go for it. This team is in a lot of trouble, and I'll say this. I don't know if Ryan Tannehill is a better overall quarterback than Marcus Mariota, but for right now and where the problems are with this team, Ryan Tannehill might be the better solution than Marcus Mariota.
Here's the thing. You know who believes they're a better quarterback than Marcus Mariota? Ryan Tannehill. You know who else also believes they're a better quarterback than Marcus Mariota? Marcus Mariota. And I'm not being facetious when I say that. I mean, we're talking about, and I said this earlier in the first hour, Marcus Mariota right now is the sixth best quarterback in the AFC South. Let that sink in for just a second. Your starting QB is only the, and there's only four teams, by the way, in the AFC South, and you're being generous when I, and I'm being generous when I throw it out there that he's the sixth best quarterback in the AFC South.
That's nuts. And for a team, and let me say this again, the hard part is this. The hard part is that's why, one, you're dependent on a box score, and two, let's be also honest about where Marcus has been and the leash that he's had. Marcus is a good guy, and people like him, and everyone in the city, state, they want him to succeed, and they want him to be the reason why the team is. However, the team is now in a serious problem because if a team gets up 7-0, 10-0, the Titans are dead. They are absolutely dead because they can't run the ball anymore. The defense is not even really putting out, you know, they're just putting out, you know, four people in the secondary and letting everyone rush the house. It's going to get worse. He's going to be sacked more. I know the offensive line isn't playing great, but go back and look at the film. Like, defenses are just going to bring the house.
You're saying four back. I don't even think they're sending four back. They're loading up the box where you get 8 to 9 guys up there. It's like, yeah, try to beat us. Try to get rid of the ball before we get to you, Marcus.
Yep, you're exactly right. And that's the problem is that once his team gets from behind, they're too one-dimensional.
They're not even doing it from – they're doing it out of the – I mean, Jacksonville, they were doing it from the start last night. They didn't even wait to the second half or where it's a 7-point game or they have a 2-touchdown lead. They were doing it from the – as soon as they got out of the locker room. That shows you the lack of respect they have for Marcus Mariota.
Yep, you're exactly right. And every team in the league is going to do it. And you look at Atlanta, who they have next Sunday – that's a high-powered offense with a really, you know, pretty good defensive rush. You're going to have Tack McKinley back there all day. So, again, you know, I know that Mike Vrabel said today that he's, you know, not close, you know, to taking Mariota out. And I'm not going to second-guess the guy. He's got that job. I don't. There's a reason why. But if this team gets behind and they get behind two scores, I don't know if they can come back. And we saw it last night. It physically looked like a team that couldn't run a basic offense. It was horrible.
Well, here's the other part. And it's I think it's fair to actually say this. You know, yes, he's the head coach by title, but what has he shown us so far that he can be a successful head coach in the NFL?
I mean, there's nothing proven there. There's nothing proven with John Robinson. And if you want to go back, take a look at John Robinson's draft this year. He's got one player that's playing. That's it, A.J. Brown. And A.J. Brown looks pretty good, right? But they can't get him the ball. Their first-round pick, nowhere to be found. He's in the training room. Third round, fourth round, like, go down the list. None of them are playing. Like, I think Hooker, Amani Hooker is the only other one that's available. This team, I don't know where they go. They're going to have to fix this immediately. But what they're going to have to do is they're going to have to score immediately. Like, they cannot waste time. And if you look last night, second quarter, third quarter, fourth quarter, there was no urgency. I mean, they were just walking up to the line, you know, taking their time. It's like, what in the world? And I'll say this. I know that a lot of people are on Mike Vrabel, you know, for that fourth down call. And a lot of people got on Doug Marrone, the Jaguars head coach, for going for it on fourth and one. But right at that time, I said it out loud in the office. You know what? 99 yards to this Titans offense is worth more to the Jaguars than 3 points because it was not going to happen at all. So I don't know what they do, but if the Titans see another performance Sunday against the Falcons, something has to change.
Well, let's go back. You know, forget about Marcus Mariota for a second. How about the fact, how much have you seen or, I guess, lack thereof productivity? But how about just the fact that just catch a punt and don't even try to return it? How many times do we have to see a Dory Jackson back on punt coverage and returning kicks, or at least trying to, and continue to make mental mistakes that he continues to make? I mean, to me, that's coaching still. And it's like, are you just that stubborn that you don't want to show everybody you're wrong? I mean, I don't get it.
Yeah. No, I mean, you're right. And I mean, to this team, to this offense, like, forget the NFL as a whole. 15 yards is a lot. To this team, 15 yards is a lifetime. They had two drives last night that were over 5 minutes that went for like 22 and 28 yards. Like, every yard is hard for this offense to get.
Oh, they had the one drive that was 7 minutes, and it was and I thought, that's a great, impressive drive. It was 7 minutes, and it's like they had gone 36 yards.
Yeah, like, it's insane. And you're right. You bring it up, you know, on Vrabel. You know, the coaching malpractice is why do they keep putting him back out there? Especially when we saw, I know that holding negated it. Adam Humphries looked pretty good back there. Like, he catches the ball. And for this team, just catching and fielding the punt, not even thinking about a return whatsoever, just catching the ball, getting it right where it's going to land, is a lot for this team. Because if it goes back 15 more yards, they're in trouble. They've got really, really big problems on offense. And Taylor Lewan's not going to fix all that coming back.
Having a chance once again to talk a little NFL with our good buddy Alan Bell with CBS Sportsline. A fun matchup coming up on Sunday, Kansas City against Baltimore. Baltimore, one of the little surprise teams. Nobody felt like Lamar Jackson was going to do all this and more, and that's exactly what Baltimore has done. And this is an opportunity for them to maybe serve some notice to Kansas City. Like, this is not going to be smooth sailing for you guys along with the New England Patriots. We're here to be playing some football, too. So a battle of two teams that are 2-0. It's a six-point favorite, Kansas City, at home against the Ravens. I know you like Baltimore to keep it close. So does Lee. I'm going the opposite side. I know last year's game was close. I'm taking Kansas City in this one. And to me, I think this is – remember, too, last year, that was the first go-around for Patrick Mahomes as a starter. Yes, he had an MVP campaign. I think we're going to see even different results this year with Kansas City covering this game.
Yeah. I mean, I can't argue against it. I mean, you're right. Like, I took Baltimore with the points, but there's no way that I can argue against you. Like, Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs offense, what they're doing is incredible. I mean, this guy is putting up numbers that we haven't seen in forever, and they're doing it, you know, really without great wide receivers. Tyreek Hill's not out there. I mean, Patrick Mahomes is incredible. Where I think that Baltimore at least cover the spread, you know, could be, you know, towards the end, because the Kansas City's defense is not that great. It can be had, but you still got to do it. You've got to go out there and do it. So we'll see. You know, and I'm with you. I really love Baltimore. I love what they're doing. They look good now. The one thing is that the two teams that they played before Kansas City are the Miami Dolphins and the Arizona Cardinals, the two worst teams in the league. However, I still believe in what they've got going on. And even if they get blown out, Kansas City might be going to the Super Bowl this year. Like, that's how good that team is. So I'm with you, man. Like, I like what we're seeing from Baltimore, and especially in a division that looks like all you got to do is pretty much take care of the Cleveland Browns, and you've got that thing wrapped up.
Hey, by the way, I'm looking at this Giants game on Sunday. They're at Tampa Bay. I bring it up because, you know, going into the season, you felt pretty good. If you are looking for a quarterback, you know, a lot of these teams already address those needs. So if you're a Titans fan, for example, you want Daniel Jones to look really good. At the same time, you also want Jameis Winston to look really good for Tampa Bay. That means there's less of a market for those quarterbacks coming out as far as the draft next year. Then you get the news where Cam Newton, you know, he played, right, the last game. But, well, he's out this week due to the foot injury. You start now thinking about Carolina could be a team looking for another quarterback moving forward as well. It's interesting where we are. You know, Pittsburgh's in this situation with no Ben Roethlisberger the rest of the way. You know, the Saints, you know, with Drew Brees getting up there, he's going to be out for a few weeks with a hand injury. I'm really intrigued to see what transpires, especially starting with this Tampa Bay Giants game with the debut for Daniel Jones.
Yeah, I'm with you. You know, it's crazy that, you know, in the last week and a half, I think we've lost, what, seven quarterbacks or something like that. It's been crazy in terms of injuries. Yeah, I mean, I'm interested to see what Pat Shurmur, the Giants head coach, can do with Daniel Jones. It's going to be tough. That Giants team is just not very good. And not that the Buccaneers are Super Bowl, you know, favorites or anything like that. But, you know, New York's just going to have a tough time. But, you know, we'll see. He's got Sterling Shepard coming back. I'm excited. I it's been time to move on from Eli Manning, and you know, they're finally letting Shurmur be a head coach and make decisions in terms of his team. So I'm happy to see that. I'm interested to see what we see from Jameis Winston. You know, I think Tampa can be pretty decent, especially like you said with Carolina and that division just turning into a mess. Cam Newton, you know. We knew that, you know, all offseason he had to change, you know, his throwing motion because of his shoulder, and he was dealing with a foot injury. That foot injury is apparently way worse than we thought. And I like Kyle Allen, their backup quarterback, but, man, Carolina's in trouble. And you brought up the bigger point. You know, next year we could see a new head coach in Carolina, a new quarterback, because their new owner, David Tepper, He doesn't waste any time making decisions what he wants to do. So it's going to be wild for Carolina all year long.
Having a chance once again to visit with Alan Bell. All right, so 33 seasons ago, 32 years ago, some events happened that inspired a John Wick movie. Oh, I'm sorry, a Keanu Reeves movie, The Replacements. That was also the last time we had not one but two games in the NFL where the favorite was a favorite by 21.5 points or more. We're getting it again. Now, I don't know if we're going to get Replacements Part 2 or not, movie-wise, but here the Jets are at home as the starting debut for Luke Falk. 22.5 point favorites, underdogs rather, at home against New England. And then on the other side of that, we get this matchup with the Dallas Cowboys at home, 22.5 point favorites against the Miami Dolphins. I see Dallas looking good in this matchup. I think the Jets, they've realized, oh, wait, we do have Le'Veon Bell. We can give him the ball. We can shorten games. By the way, that Jets game on the road at New England, I should add. But because of all of that, I think the Jets can keep it relatively close. When I say relatively close, probably lose by 17. I don't see, and here's Miami, you know, they're now realized that Ryan Fitzmagic is not, you know, Fitzmagic, and so they're letting Josh Rosen get the start against the Cowboys.
That was quick on Fitzmagic. We've been calling that for years. I'm going to go the opposite way on the Jets-Patriots game. I think that what transpired today with Antonio Brown, his release from New England, and Bill Belichick walking out of a press conference because he was tired of hearing about it. But you might have a Patriots team that's on a mission this week to show even more that they don't need him, that they're going to light the scoreboard up. However, I'm with you in the sense of, you know, take Miami out of it. Like, division games, it's tough to blow those guys out. Even if they're not, they're, you know, very good, they still know you a little bit, you know. So I'm with you. I still think the Patriots, with the Dolphins and Cowboys, I just don't see how the Dolphins score. The Cowboys have a really good defense. Their offense is playing at historic Dallas levels right now. So if they continue that, I mean, I could see both teams covering, which is crazy. But I just don't see any way that Miami scores. I mean, unless, you know, Dak goes out and throws a couple, you know, pick sixes, or, you know, there's a scoop and score type, fumble type, you know, play. I don't see Miami scoring on Dallas's defense at all. So it's wild to see two lines that are that high and both teams could cover.
Other games that you have on your landscape, another one for me, the Los Angeles Rams, they're a 3-point favorite. Taking on the Cleveland Browns. This will be the Sunday night game. I'm just going to keep riding that horse with the Rams. I like them. I don't. I'm still trying to understand why everybody is so in love with this Browns team from the offseason. You know, to me, they're not all that yet.
No. Their offense does not look good at all. Even the, you know, the Monday night game against the New York Jets, their offense did not look good. Baker Mayfield is running out of the pocket way too quickly. They were taking way too much time, too. It seemed like they were taking all, you know, the play clock on each snap. So I'm with you. That's an interesting one. The Saints are traveling to Seattle. Seattle's won both. They're 2-0. They've won both of their games by 1 point and 2 points. So I want to see, you know, how good is a Seattle team at home against a Saints team where, you know, Sean Payton didn't even name Teddy Bridgewater the starter. They're going with a two-quarterback system, which sounds crazy, but Sean Payton's a smart guy. Like, I'm not gonna question him whatsoever. So, yeah, I'm with you. That's definitely what we've got, you know, on the matchups this week. And I know we already talked about it, but that Chiefs-Ravens game could be a lot of fun offensively.
Another one, too, and the Titans and all the other teams in the AFC South paying attention to it as well. When you have the Los Angeles Chargers taking on Houston, this will be another one of those games that, and the Chargers are at home. Both these teams 1-1, knowing that they both have hopes of winning their, you know, respective divisions. I wouldn't say it's a must game, but certainly it would be a nice extra feather in the cap at this point.
Oh yeah, definitely. And you're looking at two teams in the AFC who, you know, could win their divisions, but could absolutely find themselves in a wild card position. And, you know, games like this, get a head-to-head win over another team looking for that can help a ton. Yeah, you know, if you look at the Texans, Deshaun Watson has been sacked four times, at least four times, in the last eight games straight. If it happens one more time, it's an NFL record. So you know that Los Angeles is going to come after him. They're going to get him. But the hard part with that is that that's a risk-reward, because if you don't get to him, he'll light you up, man. Like, that offense can score. So, yeah, that's going to be a really fun game on both sides for sure.
And then finally, your thoughts about Indianapolis, you know, the Colts, and they're hosting the Atlanta Falcons. It looks like the Atlanta discovered their offense. This is a tight game when you look at what Vegas feels like. Atlanta is a 1.5-point underdog on the road against Indianapolis. If you feel like Indianapolis gets the 3 for being the home team, it's basically almost a pick 'em kind of game. I saw enough on offense from Atlanta on Sunday. I like Atlanta in this matchup on the road.
Yeah, this is going to be, you know, probably a pretty tight game. You're exactly right. Like, where Vegas has the line, probably where it's going to be. I think this is a game that is going to kind of, you know, not necessarily define for the year, but it's going to define right now of what these two teams are. Because even with losing Andrew Luck, the Colts still have a great roster. Jacoby Brissett's a good quarterback. So they're still looking at a playoff run. And the Falcons absolutely are doing the same thing. So I think we're going to see a little bit more of, you know, are these guys for real? Like, which team, you know, can bring it? Which team can show up consistently, both on offense and defense, but specifically on offense, because that's where these teams, you know, really make their bones. So, yeah, it's going to be a really fun game. I'm with you. It's going to be tight. But we're going to learn a lot more, you know, about these quarterbacks and about these offenses.